This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are getting to our Hard Knocks era of our lives, which will be very exciting.
You're getting your poses ready for watching practice. The fingers under the chin, maybe, as the look.
I'm going to go through with a clipboard. That'll make it look like I'm a lot more intense.
He's just drawing a train.
You know what?
The whole
time.
It's a doodle of a train.
Doodling. We both have to have clipboards so then we can consult next to each other.
And then you point to like mine with a pen like...
We turn and we just high five.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning, Bills fans. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher training camp as we're on for another day here. 9:45 practice today. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's Your Outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We are pleased to welcome in Pat Harris, who is lead director of HBO's Hard Knocks here for this series of the Bills. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're excited to talk to you about this. I think Bills fans are pretty excited to see their team. You know, any Bills content is good, and I think, you know, there's the cliched idea that, uh-oh, it's a distraction. I'm sure you guys hear that all the time. But the flip side of that for Bills fans and any football fan is like, I get access. I can see my team, and that's pretty great.
That's the hope. I think, yeah, we're used to the reluctance, you know, football teams, fans, players, they all just want their team to succeed and not be distracted at all. I think we've gotten pretty good at not being a distraction, or at least that's what we think. That's how we operate. So we try to tell the teams, be yourselves. That's what's good TV, and ultimately we're just going to follow around what you're doing.
Do you find that through the process these teams – are nervous at first, and by the end, they're just like, oh, yeah, you know, it's Pat. These guys are hanging out. They're just kind of part of the, you know, part of the entourage, part of the show now.
No question. And that is our goal, even from our shirts. Like, we found that putting the shirts the team color blends you in. Players don't notice it as much. So that is our goal, and we try to get it as quick as possible.
So you've been with Hard Knocks for how many years?
This is my 10th Hard Knocks in the directing world, 10 out of the last 11. So we had our son during Cowboys year, so I took a year off there. And then I worked on a couple previously, but yeah, 10 out of the last 11.
And you are a Rochester native and a Bills fan, so
yes.
Is this one a little special?
Oh, no question. No question. I think this is my first year in this role, so I thought that would be special regardless. But then you add in my favorite team, you add in being in my hometown, my dad went here, grandpa, a bunch of cousins went here. So it's pretty surreal, I think, that it's all landed in this spot.
But you kind of been waiting for the Bills to get picked here? Like, I feel like there have been a lot of iterations of Hard Knocks, and this is the first for any of it. Even the in-season, this is the first one.
Definitely. I think I've quietly pitched or said, like, hey, this could be a good year for the Bills. Like, this many, many years, and it kind of fell to deaf ears or never really worked. So I think when it finally did happen, it was a little – I was reluctant to, like, accept and say, like, I'll believe it when it's, like, signed on the dotted line. But it's awesome that it finally did.
So here we are at St. John Fisher. The season begins. But before we get into, you know, how this all works, just as a Bills fan, like, you've been to games, you've been to Highmark, like, memories of that stadium going back for you?
Oh, no question. I feel like I would go. It started like early memories were like going to those kids' days during preseason games. Parents would drive up. My dad always had season tickets, so a lot of them too were remembering him like, all right, he's, you got to help him get ready to go to the game, to do his tailgate and do everything like that. And then I feel like as I got older, I'd be able to go with friends. I remember memories. This was, I mean, I grew up in the peak Brady Patriots years, so
drought,
I definitely remember.
Yeah,
yes,
drought era kid like me.
Yes, a lot of times of like, Dad, can we go to any other game with the Patriots? Like that's, yeah. And of course that's the one his buddy didn't want to go to, so it worked out. But no, I feel like it's cool that I was able to have memories as a kid, and then now that I've gotten older and been able to work games and be on the sidelines for, you know, NFL films, it's kind of been like a cool full circle moment.
Yeah, well. How does this all work? So your day-to-day, you guys are out here filming all the time. How much work goes in before anybody even shows up at training camp? Just kind of contact with the Bills, planning things. Do you ask about a certain set of players? Do you ask their opinion on who's interesting? To try and find the storylines that you end up covering, how do you ultimately arrive there?
It starts with, we usually do a little, like, put together a research packet. We get to know the players. We do, you know, look at social medias and kind of familiarize ourselves. There's five directors, including myself, that'll just kind of like, just, hey, here's who we got. So we have an idea of personalities, storylines, and then a lot of it's, you know, once we get to camp, we have keep that in the back of our head, and then we just kind of keep our eyes open and listen, because the one thing I never like is staying on, hey, we reread this, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. We have to keep sticking to this when in reality it's not true. So we try to do some homework. I think definitely talking with the team, talking with the PR staffs gives us a good idea of just different personalities and characters that are on the team that we might not know about. Hey, just because this guy doesn't post on social media doesn't mean he's not a good personality. But
yeah,
we usually like to come in with a little homework done and being ready to roll.
Yeah, and you said you think it's a good year for the Bills. Do you feel like as you're going through this, we've talked about this offseason, this team feels like it's Josh Allen, who's the MVP, and then there's a lot of good players that maybe aren't superstars, household names, you know, for every football fan around the league. Can that almost play to your benefit, though, like telling the story of players that are meaningful and are good players on this team that, again, aren't guys that you're seeing in the Pro Bowl or getting all the All-Pro accolades every single year?
I think it opens us up to tell the story of really anybody and everybody, because I think I'm kind of jaded, you know, being dialed into the Bills and everything about them, but trying to listen to coworkers that, hey, they know the Bills because they watch them on Sunday Night Football or they've seen them play the Chiefs, whatever, you know, reason is, but know that I'm pretty in tune, but the rest of the world might not be with players like that, that all of a sudden, hey, we know Deion Dawkins is an incredible personality, is people that know the Bills. Let's show the world. Everybody, you know, there's a lot of players that I think fall under that line that really the world can see how incredible football players, but also people they are.
So when this gets started, you're asking about access. Can we do this? Is it ask for the moon, see what you get? Like, how is it a collaborative that you get to what you are allowed to use, what you should protect, how much trust there is? Are you in a room and you filter back through? Like, take us through exactly how that might work.
I think we usually open up and say, like, you know, putting cameras in all different rooms, filming meetings, wiring people up. Like, that's usually the big umbrella that we start with. And then teams kind of make little tweaks here. Hey, maybe we do this many wires, or maybe we put, you know, put a camera here. But, you know, on this day, hey, can we just have it to ourselves? So there's, like, a collaboration. I think that's what helps form the partnership that we ultimately want with this team.
And at the end of the day, you're not trying to be investigative, exposing what they're doing.
Correct.
You're just trying to tell the other side of it. You know, I'm not sure, like, whatever, the names of the plays, the formations they're going to use, that would be interesting to fans. But what you're trying to do is kind of just craft stories around what the football team is.
Correct. And that's what we always tell teams, like, any install, you know, that we don't care. As much as, yes, I'm the same way. It'd be fascinating to see and understand. That's not what this show is. The majority of our fans wouldn't even understand it. So I think that's one, I don't even know if it's a misconception, but that sets them at ease, I think, once we kind of clear that up of like, hey, we know the camera's in there, we're filming this meeting, but ultimately we don't need that.
Can that relationship with the team and that dynamic change when the show is actually airing? Like, has it ever happened in the past where, maybe, I don't know, this could happen anywhere, I guess, like some team didn't like something, the way it was perceived on television, and I don't know, does that ever change, or do you find that it actually, you know, as the show starts airing, that it's just kind of, you know, at that point, everyone's used to it.
It rarely, and I can't remember an instance where it almost goes from, like, great, incredible access to, like, minimize because,
sure,
of something they were uncomfortable with. It's usually the opposite where kind of start off a little like reserved, and then they start to see as stuff starts to come together, we show rough cuts. I think players especially, once they start to see, okay, here's how we're introducing this guy. We're not, again, out to make anybody look bad. Mm-hmm. We're not focusing on the negatives with that stuff. I think we're kind of documenting camp, and a lot of times, hey, yeah, you had a rough practice. We're going to show that because that's part of what this is. But the intention of the hope is like, hey, you have an ability to redeem yourself. So I think a lot of times players see that first or second episode and then they're a little bit more comfortable with us.
So like a day today, there's practice today. The players that are going to be mic'd up, is there a schedule that's kind of set ahead of time? So I think I'd heard one day was here, five guys were mic'd up. Maybe KJ Hamler was one of them. Josh was one of them. When a guy knows he's mic'd up, you know, he's just do you give him tips like, hey, I feel like I'm thinking of the movie Almost Famous where the guy's embedded with the band. He's like, just make us look cool, man, right? Like, are these players basically like, you know, just make me look cool?
Yes. You find, I think, one, we want players to be themselves. I think you realize the veterans, if there's a conversation that's like, you know, they're talking about something personal, the ones who know the deal, they're like, oh, I don't want to say anything. It's like, they're not going to use that. Like, yeah. That's not what we're here for. I think you realize, guys, the way we can film it is we aren't an invasive. We aren't, you know, right in their hip pocket the entire time. So I think they can just operate. At the end of the day, they gotta prepare for the season. So we wanna get what we need, but also not be in the way of what they need.
How many cameras? How many people? What are the numbers on site?
So we got 35 people on our crew on site. We have 8 cameras at every practice. Between like 5 and 8 wires. And then there's an entire army of people back in NFL Films that have to, you know, ingest the footage, log it, put the show together. So we're looking at, you know, 70 to 100 people that are working out on that end.
And how unique is this show to that? Because your turnaround time, especially once the show starts airing, is it vastly different? Is it unique in that way compared to other, you know, documentaries for sports and whatnot? Because, you know, you're trying to have it come out as camp is ongoing.
I think it's one of one, and I think we've continued to prove that each year. I think other, you know, we always say when we're up against other documentaries, you're kind of comparing yourself to like ones. A lot of them just have exponentially more time to put it together. I think the way we kind of start to ramp up and just turn it around in a week, it's crazy when you kind of like talk through it and say it out loud, but we're kind of like a well-oiled machine between here, back at Films, that we're just used to that. That's what we've grown up with. That's what I've grown up with. But it is very impressive that we're able to do that, I think, year in and year out.
Do you have an idea, like episode one at this point? Because you say you send things back, they ingest it, they log it, they cut it. Do you guys have an idea of what the focus might be early on, like who the stars are, who the characters are early on?
A little bit. I think we're not quite there yet with it, but I think we have an idea. Like, obviously, you got to figure out, okay, how are you going to introduce Josh? I think the first episode is you kind of introduce the stars. It's introducing Sean. It's introducing Dion. Even Brandon Bean, like the people like that you want to start the foundation of like what the Bills are and who they are. So you kind of have an idea there. And then it's really those episodes, once 2, 3, 4, you start to introduce different characters. It's kind of sometimes we might have 3 characters, but we can only introduce 2. So we're trying to do the best thing in the field to say, all right, we're going to give you all that you might need to introduce all 3 of these guys. And then it's ultimately, you know, on them to decide.
Pat Harris, lead director of HBO's Hard Knocks.
With McDermott on that, you mentioned him as one of kind of the stars to be introduced. I wonder, you know, one, I guess what he's been like to deal with from your end during this whole process, but then two, also him being, you know, like presented there as one of the stars of the team. As I mentioned, it's not like a long list of all pros that are on the roster. And I feel like he's another one where I guess I don't know what the casual football fan around the country actually thinks of him or even knows about him in the first place.
Right, and that's, I think, kind of to our advantage that we can kind of open up the book and say, yeah, this is Sean McDermott. I think from my personal interaction with him, he's extremely kind, like has a good sense of humor. It makes you feel like he's known you for a lot of years, and he's very comfortable, introduces himself to all of our crew. So that's been, I think, fun knowing. I've obviously watched him on the sidelines for many years, been a fan, and he came in and was very excited to have us. So I think that's an opportunity for us to say, all right, Sean is a huge piece of this team, huge piece of the Bills culture. So what can we do to let the average fan that doesn't know kind of peer in a little bit to what he is, not only as a coach, I think, but as a person too.
We've got you for a little bit here this morning. and wonderful to have this time. Is this a little bit of downtime before practice every day? Like you have this window, the calm before the storm, and then once you get to practice, like the day's filled?
Yes. So usually we have a production meeting at 7 o'clock to kind of just lay out what the day is, who we got mic'd up, anything like of note that we're doing. And then it's usually a lot of our operators are just getting gear prepped and things like that. We usually try to get a little breakfast or something like that. And then pressers will start, and then we'll make our way down to the field. We'll start getting guys, you know, as they come out to the field. And then usually then it becomes a whirlwind until practice is over with. And then it's almost you stop down again, get some food, and then you're almost starting to anticipate the next day. Hey, what random stuff do we need to do? We want to shoot some B-roll of, like, signage around here. It's stuff like that that you're really kind of trying to think, like, more creatively. And then ultimately walk through ends the day, and then you turn around and do it all over again.
You're from the area. Do you find that you're almost like the host for everybody, like on where to go and you know where to get stuff to eat and all that?
I had a lot of pressure to make sure I had some good food recs, and I realized, I mean, it's been a while since I've lived here, so I know the places I know the places my parents go. So I had a buddy who put together some food recommendations for us to share to the crew, which I think they've taken advantage of.
Was everybody just thinking I got to try a garbage plate, or did they not even know maybe what a garbage plate was?
I had no idea. It's funny when you get the reaction of like, I tell you, and then I'm going to show you a picture, and you're just going to either you're going to be like, wow, that, or you're going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I had a couple people try it, and they were big fans. Nice.
Very good. And then, of course, there's spots around. You're filming here, but I mean, is the Pittsford Dairy making an appearance? Everyone's wondering. They always talk about the milkshakes. They go for those. There's golf courses. We know got some players that are out there golfing. So. The off-campus stuff.
Yeah, we will try to pop up. I think there's a strong chance Pittsford Dairy shows up. Golfing, we're hoping. We're still trying to figure out who that right person is to golf. But I think that's ultimately the goal of Rochester and goal of, like, kind of you're in a different area for camp. So what are the things that make Rochester unique? And I have a good at least perspective of that. But I think what are players doing on that downtime to say, hey, we're away from our families. How are we just going to kill some time?
Yeah. All right, Pat Harris, lead director of HBO's Hard Knocks. First episode airs
August 5th. 9 p.m.
Yep. 9 p.m. And there's a sneak preview coming. There's a special showing as well locally, so people get a look at that. But August 5th, 9 p.m. Very good. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck throughout the process from here.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Pat Harris, of lead director of Hard Knocks here with Joe and I. We'll get a break in. Carl Jones joining us on the other side. Talk a little football here. We expect the Bills in full pads today. So exciting day here from St. John Fisher, 9:45 to start practice. And we'll keep you rolling all through it here on WGR.
It's nothing different than before. I feel like my urgency, attention to detail, nothing that's been different before, but just knowing that I got a mission at the end. This team want to win games, and ultimately me, I'm battling for a job, so I want to put my best foot forward and make sure that my teammates know that I'm accountable, I know my stuff, and they can rely on me in any situation in the game.
That's Tre'Davious White. We're back at Bills camp. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Coverage of training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We welcome in Carl Jones, a man who might know the 90 as well as I do. From Cleveland to Syracuse to Rochester, now you're in Buffalo. If I thought of this ahead of time, I would have had Joe put together a throughway trivia. You against me, because we know the 90, right?
I'm very grateful for all my stops on I-90. I'm just hopeful that this is as west as I go, because no disrespect to Erie, but I don't think I'm going to end up there anytime soon.
Fair enough. Carl from Channel 4 in Buffalo, and sitting with us here to talk a little football in Bills camp. Full pads today is the chatter, so as a former player yourself, like, ready for that?
I mean, I think about those days where I'm a little guy. So, you know, us DBs, whatever, got to throw us into the Oklahoma drill. You're like, ah, my God, this is real football again. Just, I don't want to go in the drill more than twice, coach. My neck and my shoulders aren't ready for all that. But this is the signal and the turn to being at real football once again, which is exciting, especially for the front seven guys where they're tired of all the twisting and turning and they can't really put their paws on someone for real. I'm sure Deion Walker and TJ Sanders are going to get a real dose of what NFL football is like today.
All right. So, full pads today for the Bills, we expect. Let's start with the secondary. Trey White there. We wanted to talk about Max Hairston. But how about Tre'Davious White? I like to point out that he's only been gone for a year, even though it feels like it's been a lot longer than that. What have you seen from him? Bills fans kind of come in with, obviously, a relationship with him before and hoping he does well, but maybe expecting to be a little bit, you know, a little nervous about what it's ultimately going to look like. What have you seen?
I've seen a guy who looks quick. If you never told me he was hurt in the past, I would believe you. I think this Trey White thing can go one of two ways. One way is the fact that I've been in rooms with players, especially defensive backs, who have recovered from ACLs and Achilles tears, and although they are medically cleared by month 9 or 12 or whatever, they aren't psychologically themselves for another year and a half past that. So if you're hopeful, if you're a Bills fan, if you're the coaching staff, that he's further removed from both of those season-ending injuries and he's more comfortable in his new normal. He's not worried about his knee while he's doing a normal 45-degree break out of the whatever zone he's in. Or it can go the other way, where he's getting closer to 30 and he just will never be the same. We won't really get that answer until we get closer and deeper into the regular season, because it's just tough when you're in camp and you're so fresh this time of year. But we really won't get that answer. But to this point, he looks fine to me.
One thing we talked about before we went on air was you're talking about how important it is to know what to do. You know, you can be so athletic, but you got to know what to do. And in this defense, I mean, he's going to know what to do.
Yeah, he's so smart. I think that's one thing where if he did lose 10 to 15% of his athleticism because of the injuries, he may pick up some of that with how smart he is and how he knows, okay, with this route combination, I can fall off of here. And I don't necessarily need to be on top of every single route because I can expect what's coming. And I think that's what's so special, the older that you the longer that you spend around the game of football, especially in this defense where Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage are going to give you every tool that's required to go out there and succeed. And knowing Trey White and what we've seen over the past 7-8 years with him, he's always going to be prepared every single time he steps out there on the field.
Do you feel like that kind of leads towards, if he does play, if he does end up starting, that it should look better than it would have last year with the Rams and with the Ravens, where he's being asked to do a lot of different things? I feel like the thing I read about the Rams was they are, maybe they're the team, is them or Baltimore, it's super man heavy, and when you're approaching that age and you've had major injuries, you know, it feels like the scheme he's in now, the coaching he has now, is more suited to a guy that might be a little more limited than he used to be.
The Bills, as you guys know, run a ton of too high stuff, which really protects your cornerbacks. So you're not doing a lot of twisting and turning down the field where it's going to put a lot of stress on your lower extremities. And that's no disrespect to a Christian Benford, who has shown in the past that he can play single high, too high, man all over the field. It doesn't matter. But I think that they do a really good job of not putting their cornerbacks on islands. And when you look back at his tenure in Los Angeles, he still was, you know, about a year and a half removed from the Achilles. So that would probably played a part as well, but certain systems are better stylistic fit for cornerbacks, and I think Los Angeles, they just put a lot on his plate that quite frankly I don't think his skill set at this age is really ready for.
Hairston, year one, we've seen him for a couple of practices, you know, you got minicamp as well. Have you been impressed? Like, what do you think about his profile, how he fits the defense, and how he's showing what he can do?
I will say, when we watch individual drill for the 10-15 minutes or so, he really pops, and just how explosive and how quick he is in and out of breaks. It's something little like that where maybe, you know, a fan watching that goes like, oh, it's just normal W drill, normal drills that defensive backs are going through. But he just moves different than every player out there, which is exciting to see, that when you see all the draft profiles that, okay, this kid is really quick and explosive. I'm happy that's translated to at least the individual portions of practice. And then there have been glimpses out there in the 11-on-11 portions. Obviously, the big pass breakup he had on day one was really cool, and the closing speed that he showed, you're like, okay, that can translate. I guess it just remains to be seen how often that can pop up. Because, you know, if you did it once, you can do it again, yeah, is what people like to say.
How does a player balance the pull to make a big play in practice versus not gambling? And, you know, if you're gambling too much in practice, I feel like they're not going to trust you out there in a game.
Yeah, I think that comes back to your preparation. And I remember talking to Rasul Douglas about this a ton, because he's known as the player who gambles and take chances. And he says that you're only going to get about 1 to 2 chances a game to get that look where you know what's coming, or you got a good indication of what's coming to go shoot your shot. And I think that with Max Hairston, he's so young, he really doesn't know what's coming yet to this point. So he may not get so many chances to take chances and take gambles and that things of that nature. So though maybe one time that he sees it every 2-3 days, that's where he should shoot his shot, because right now everything's spinning. He doesn't know cover 3 from cover 2 at this point. So I think that once he gets more comfortable, maybe it becomes every 3 days and becomes every 2 days and then becomes every 11-on-11 period and from here on out from there.
Big test for him with the pads going on. I mean, just from his frame and the style of corner that he is, feel like today it will be worth watching to see if he's getting bodied by bigger receivers.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not just tackling. I think the one thing that comes with putting the pads on is also routes down the field. When you look at someone like a Keon Coleman, who, as we all know, the narrative on him. He said that he's not a good separator, but one thing that he is good at is the chicken wing and using his arms to separate in that regard. Well, Max Harrison, let's be conservative here. Let's say 185 pounds, Keon north of 200. How are you maneuvering with the Keon Coleman down the field at slant routes in press? I'm interested to see how he looks in one-on-ones where a guy can just put his hand on your back hip and just throw you by. How do you get back into a route that in that way? So I think not necessarily tackling. I mean, that's just going to show up on game days, and we'll find that out. But it is also important how he is just holds up physically in routes down the field.
Carl Jones, Channel 4 in Buffalo, joining us here from St. John Fisher. You know, as you swing it over to wide receiver, you're talking about Coleman there and how he can use the chicken wing. He wanted to get stronger this offseason. Is that a reason why, basically? Like, all right, you got to lean fully into the kind of receiver that you are. And if you're going to be a big body guy, you got to have NFL strength to throw that corner when you need to.
I mean, the Bills have said all offseason they want him to be an outside X receiver. I don't know if that's really the archetype best for him going forward. But, like, hey, if this is the way that they want him to be utilized, all those big guys on the perimeter are strong. You're not going to get bodied by any outside cornerbacks. I think back to those Ravens games, right, where Brandon Stevens, has them close to the sidelines, and Keon quite doesn't have the strength to get him off of them. I think examples like that, where if you not necessarily wait, but just get a little stronger, a little bit more explosive in those actions, that will really help you out down the line. Because let's be frank here, out of those contested catches, you need to make two out of every three, two out of every four to be a consistent player down the field in that regard. So I think those are the areas where, like, hey, get a little more explosive, get a little stronger, and that's where you can excel a little bit.
How do you feel about Kincaid for that? Is that because play strength and really just, you know, building on his frame was what the GM and the coach even talked about at the end of the season? But is that maybe for different reasons? You feel like that's more just to not get injured, basically, and do the things that a tight end is being asked to do compared to Coleman? You know, it feels like it could be for different reasons.
The Dalton Kincaid conversation is so fascinating to me because I think you have to put him in a separate bucket from the traditional tight end. When you think of the normal wide tight end, he's not that. He is not, I'm trying to think of guys around the league. He's not a Trey McBride. He's not guys like that where you can put them in line and just ask them to be a sixth offensive lineman. Not every down, obviously, not every snap, but here and there to at least give off the illusion that the run play looks the exact same from the pass. I don't want to put him in the Kelsey role because Kelsey will do it as well, where he will block if needs be, especially on the back side of things. So I think that when you're asking Kincaid to play like that F role, right, where he's always lined up against the backside linebacker or the safety or whatever, he's never going to be strong enough to do that, to block down ends. That's just never his frame. The Bills didn't draft him to do that. But if you can be a guy like a Brock Bowers, like, for example, Brock Bowers lines up at receiver. He doesn't really play tight end for the Raiders. But what makes Brock Bowers so special, he's so strong and explosive down the field, in and out of breaks. I'm watching guys, linebackers and safeties, trying to put their hands on Brock Bowers, and it's nothing they can do about it because he's so strong and so explosive. I would love to see the next step with Dalton Kincaid down the field. He's not getting hemmed up by a safety, not getting hemmed up by a linebacker because he's gotten that much stronger in his lower half to get in and out of breaks.
How much of that step is him, work he has to do, and how much of it is Joe Brady finding, you know, as you're talking about Coleman and what they want him to do and how it might not be exactly what he's best suited for. Like, the Bills have their pieces and they like how they use them. So how is that Joe Brady's job for Kincaid?
I think it's going to be the most fascinating part, at least for the first half of the season, because I personally believe that Coleman's best utilized in the slot. Same thing with Dalton Kincaid, obviously Khalil Shakir as well. So how in the world are they going to maneuver all of those parts where they got some pieces that I think will be useful in an offense? The problem is they're all on the same offense, so how do you move around those interchangeable parts? That'd be huge for Joe Brady because, I mean, when you have Dalton Kincaid as the only tight end on the field, the jig is up. You guys are leaning into some type of pass or you're running away from him. So I think how you put him out there without giving a tall tale sign of, like, hey, this is the play that we're running, that's what Joe Brady gets paid the big bucks for.
Carl Jones with us here at Bills training camp. What any other of the receivers that you are excited about through the first week of camp? Samuel's already got the hamstring injury, and that's not great. But the new guys, Palmer, Moore, what stood out to them about you?
I think Josh Palmer just moves really smooth. I think that's the one thing that you see on film. You saw against the entire AFC West over the last 4 years or so, and I think that's kind of translated out here at St. John Fisher as well, where he's a guy that's not super explosive. He's not going to run past anyone consistently, but I've seen reps here and there where it's like, hey, he can have a nice end breaker and get in front of a cornerback if need be here and there. And I think that's the cool stuff that you see it on film and you're like, oh, I can see snippets here and there in the Bills offense. Is he going to be some reliable star receiver, got to have it on every single third and six? I don't think so, but I also don't think they're expecting that of him either.
What happens with James Cook? Prediction time. What's going to happen? How's it going to play out? You can go season, contract. What do you think?
Well, the season might be easy at this point, right? Like, season, he's just going to play, right?
Yeah.
A good season. Because I'll make this. I don't buy the case about touchdown regression in the way that it's usually talked about, because he hit big long ones, and I think he still will. And like, he showed a knack when in tight too with the five, a big plays in the Chiefs game. Like, I feel like Cook's going to have the same season. And if the touchdown drop happens, he's not going to go from like 16 to 3.
Right.
He's a guy. And the way they run the ball, how well they run the ball, returning their entire offensive line, I feel like I should expect Cook to do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't see anything short of another really, really good season from James Cook back there. The offensive line and just the ecosystem is just so well constructed that I'm not trying to say you can throw any back in there and they'll be okay, but I think with how they're constructed and his skill set that he brings to the table is like a match made in heaven where, like, hey, they're very powerful and they can move guys and displace players. And then also with that displacement, you have a really explosive back behind you that can take that crease and take it to the house.
He's not one that is – I feel like there are not as many comps in the league for him as people might think. He's kind of a unique back.
Yeah, when he came out of Georgia, everyone had this receiving back that can play on third down, this scat – not Darren Sproles, but, you know, guys of that ilk were like, hey – put him out there, a receiver. He can get you 60, 70 catches a season. Come to find out, like, he's an okay guy out of the backfield, but you wouldn't call him Christian McCaffrey by any means. And then he also has his limitations in pass pro, which is the whole argument this offseason about do you pay him or do you not. So he's a very fascinating back where he's a smaller one that's really explosive, yet he's not like a big third down back as well. There's not many archetypes like that.
Yeah. Back to the defense for a moment. We didn't get in on Cole Bishop with you at all. Is it hard to decipher whether a safety is, you know, like, if I were to ask you what kind of week he's had, what kind of camp Cole Bishop has had, is safety a tougher position to really figure out what a guy is, how a guy is doing?
Yeah, because it's so hard, and I've had this belief where, like, it's really hard to judge training camp practices on a singular basis. You need a week, 2 weeks to really judge a player because you don't know the emphasis for that day in terms of what they're asking. Like, hey, today's a heavy blitz day, a heavy third down day. We're going to implement a new scheme or a new technique. With safeties, I mean, you're the last line of defense. And a lot of times with these guys thudding up and blowing the whistle quick, the ball never gets to the safety. I think the one thing that I'm paying attention to with Cole Bishop, they've talked about it all year in terms of communication, pre-snap, how comfortable does he look looking back at Taylor Rapp, looking next to his whatever cornerbacks in front of him, looking at Terrell Bernard with the hand, with the verbal and nonverbal as well. When you're that comfortable, we're like, hey, whatever motion that's happening in front of you, you're doing a hand signal. You're communicating. That's a player who's very comfortable, and I believe that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbitt will coach him up to at least be in the right spot. Sundays, we'll find out if he can make those plays once he's there.
And if that happens, I mean, the chess pieces they have at their disposal, Michael Hoyt, three linebackers this year if they want to employ that. I don't know what that would look like with Bishop, but it feels like with his size and athletic profile, they could do things with him that maybe they've never been able to do with. Not to say Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer weren't athletic, right, but Bishop's just got a bigger frame.
Yeah, I think the Bills' defense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This year, I'm hopeful, at least because it makes our jobs a little bit more fun, that they can lean into this multiple thing where I think over the past few years, the Bills have been really good at what they do. They live in this zone world, this too-high world, where they're going to be played death by a thousand cuts, where we're going to rely on you to make a mistake. Well, if we got Michael Hoyt doing some funky things up front, and we have Cole Bishop that can go deep high in the hole, we got cornerbacks like a Max Harrison who can play 9 yards off but drive on slants. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of creative fun that I know Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage have been clamoring to bring here. And if that comes together, that's where you get that multiple defense, where it doesn't matter what style of offense we play, we feel comfortable playing in that world.
Carl Jones joining us here from St. John Fisher. You see him on Channel 4. You see him on, well, you're on One Bills Live too, right? Filling a couple times?
Yeah, I filled in a couple times. They tapped me in out of the bullpen for Brownie one of those days. Nice. And same thing with Steve Tasker. I had a whole lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, nice. Not bad. Any thoughts on Syracuse football? You want to give us Joe?
I asked you guys before. You guys didn't sound as optimistic as I thought. Hey, listen, I thought Fran Brown was like building like a star program there.
I'll start. Everything's going great, but last year we got Kyle McCord, who was amazing.
All right. Who's the quarterback this year?
I don't know.
Not as good?
He's a Notre Dame transfer competing against, I think, third-string LSU quarterback transfer. So not quite Kyle McCord, but yeah. I trust him a little bit. The schedule's brutal, though. Brutal. Yeah. And I think even if we're better in terms of the future as a program, the record may not reflect it because when you got to go to Clemson, Notre Dame, we got North Carolina coming to town. I forgot
Tennessee,
about Tennessee.
We said it was the first game.
I mean, come on. This is not fair to a little Syracuse. But we're going to find a way. That's best believe that. We're going to find a way.
Schedule means if they play amazing, then we can talk about, like, what's the playoff this year? Is it 12 again or is it 16?
I don't even know. We're still 12.
I mean, 12.
Optimistic CJ, I'll see you guys in the playoff come early December for sure.
It's 12 this year, then it's 16, right? Next year?
They still doing all, you know,
they're added whatever.
Yeah, they doing whatever.
They'll be in a different conference by then anyway.
Yeah. Well, you never know. It hasn't gone well since going to the ACC, really, right? I mean, it's been fine. Basketball's where we that's tough. ACC, sensitive subject. All right, Carl. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys, man.
Always a pleasure. We'll get a break in. Carl Jones, Channel 4 in Buffalo. You can follow him on Twitter, follow his work. Always does great stuff. We'll get a break in. Full pads expected today, and Joe Brady at 9:15 here sitting with us on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This is the unofficial song of Happy Gilmore, right? Tuesday's Gone?
I don't think it's unofficial. I think it is.
Official? Is it in the sequel?
It is in the sequel.
All right. Joe's about to give us the review of Happy Gilmore 2, which I have heard a couple different reviews. One, it's the worst movie ever.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe it got greenlit.
Uh-huh.
It's terrible.
Uh-huh.
People should be fired. And two, it's totally fine. It was funny. It was great. So
it is all relative to what your expectations are going in.
Okay.
If you are going in to Happy Gilmore 2 knowing it's going to be stupid, knowing that it's going to be insane, and knowing that Adam Sandler, I mean, this is what he does in his, at this point in his career, doesn't he? Or was this always true? He's just getting his friends in a movie. He wants to pack as many of his friends into a movie as he can. Like, in this one, both of his daughters play key roles. His wife is in it. So, like, he wants his family to be in it. If you go in with that mindset, it's fine. It's a harmless, fun movie. If you are expecting it to be like a top sports movie of all time, then you're gonna be sorely mistaken.
Okay.
So there, that's my review. Go into it with an open mind and, you know that it's gonna be dumb, but that's what it's supposed to be. Tons of cameos, like every 5 seconds. That might have been the people's biggest complaint. It's like you can't keep up with it. The golfers that are in it.
All right, let me ask you.
Scottie Scheffler, I think, might have a case for being the funniest of the cameos in it. He's great.
I've got a thought, a theory. Again, I have not seen it, but how much of your "it's totally fine if you don't expect much and it's bad" is lifted up by you didn't have to pay for it and go to the theater.
That helps.
You just watch it on your couch.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, you're like, it stinks.
That helps a little bit.
But if you would just drop $20 and then $15 for popcorn,
sure,
and you're sitting somewhere $35 deep being like, this stinks, that's not the same as being on your couch. Your couch allows you to just kind of be like, yeah, it's fine.
I don't even know if I would have said it stinks, though. It's so ridiculous that it ends up kind of being funny in that way.
Okay.
That it's so ridiculous. It's so over the top. The golf parts of it are like, if I tried to explain to you the golf scenes that are in this movie, like, I don't even think, like, your mind would melt on, like the final golf scene, like, you don't have any concept of until you actually watch the movie.
Considering this is coming from an original where the winning putt of the championship is putted around a television tower that has fallen on the green.
I think that the winning putts and final hole in Happy Gilmore 2 are more ridiculous than the winning putt in Happy Gilmore 1.
Fair.
Also, 2 minutes in, without spoiling anything, within 2 minutes, you're going to stand up off your couch and go, wait, what? There's like a shock moment like within the first couple of minutes.
Okay.
That I was not ready for.
Happy Gilmore 2.
At all. Yeah, I would recommend it. You should watch it. A lot of nostalgia. So much nostalgia. There's callbacks to every part of the first movie.
Okay. We'll get a break in Chubbs and the Alligator. Everybody, yeah, anyway.
There's a Chubbs callback.
Of course. We'll get a break in. Joe Brady joins us on the other side of the break, 9:15. We're expecting to have the Bills offensive coordinator come sit down with us and chat with us. So stay tuned for that. Join us on YouTube. Join us on the stream. Join us anywhere. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.